We started a series, a study, several weeks ago called Maturing into Adulthood. Maturing into Adulthood, and talking about maturing into spiritual adulthood. And just to kind of briefly summarize last week's message, it was about the Word. Reading the Bible as a way to grow spiritually in your walk with God. Now, when you read the Word of God, you can consider the Word of God, the Bible, the written Word of God, the autobiography of God. It gives you a closer look into the nature and the heart of God. It causes you, by reading the Bible on a consistent basis, it causes you to know God better. And as you get to know God better and you imitate the God that you read about in the Bible, you grow in your walk with God. You grow spiritually. Is that making sense? So reading the Word of God reveals the nature of God, number one. Reading the Word of God reveals the voice of God. It can speak to you on many occasions. And reading the Word of God can help you fight off the devil's temptations. Now, today we're going to be talking about communication. I want to talk about yet another way to grow spiritually in your walk with God. It's called communication, prayer. How many here have a best friend, a really good friend? All right, you've got relationship with that friend, right? Let me ask you this. How do you grow into deeper relationship with that friend, that other human being? How do you do it? You do it by what? By verbal communication. You see, that person shares his or her struggles and thoughts and feelings with you, and you respond, and also vice versa. You can share your thoughts, your struggles, and your feelings with that person, and that person could respond. And as you share with each other and you respond to each other, you are verbally communicating with each other. You're getting to know each other better. Is that making sense? Now, I'm married. I don't know if anybody here has ever been married, but in a marriage, to make it work, it's all about communication. Where communication begins, frustration ends. If you're wanting to know your spouse better on a deeper level, you've got to communicate with your spouse. You've got to allow her to share her thoughts, her feelings, her struggles with you, so you get to know how she operates, how she thinks, how she works. And it's the same way with you. You share your thoughts, your feelings, your struggles with her so that she gets to know how you think, how you operate, and how you feel. So in a marriage, let me tell you, to make a marriage work, it is all about communication. That's one of the main ones, is verbal communication. There's other things to make it work as well, but verbal communication is a main ingredient in building a marital relationship. And it's the same way with getting to know God better. If you want to get to know God better, like you're getting to know your spouse better, like you're getting to know your best friend better, if you want to get to know God better at that spiritual level, you have got to communicate with Him in prayer. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is two-way communication with God. It's talking to God and having Him respond back to you. And it's also God communicating His heart to your spirit, to your spiritual ears. Now, Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says, pray continually. He's saying, communicate with God continually. Let your life be in open communication with God. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And to get to know the heart of God more deeply, you've got to communicate with Him in prayer, as I've been saying. You share your heart, your concerns, frustrations, all about you to God, and God will listen. And God, I guarantee, when you pray to Him, when you communicate verbally, God will respond to you. Say it with me. Prayer, it's two-way communication with God. Famous minister once said, it seems that God does nothing except somebody prays. It seems that God does nothing except someone prays. Now, we're going to see what Jesus has to say about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And as we go through it, we'll kind of expound on the scriptures individually. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So these hypocrites that Jesus is talking about were praying not to communicate something to God, but they were communicating, they were praying to make themselves known and heard. They were really praying to men rather than to God. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, they have received their reward in full. God knows how to repay those that are praying just to make themselves known in pride. Jesus says, on the other hand, but when you pray, verse 6, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So Jesus is saying, true prayer to God is going into your closet, your private area, and praying to your Father, whatever that might be. Maybe a personal room in the house, maybe a personal area here at the shelter, but going privately and praying to God. On your knees, that's right, humbly. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He will respond to you. He will reward you positively if you pray not to make yourself known and seen, but if you pray privately to the Heavenly Father. Is that making sense? Amen. All right, and then he says this. And when you pray, verse 7, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Interesting scripture. Jesus says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. What is he saying here?
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Jesus is not prohibiting much prayer here, but he's prohibiting much speaking. He's prohibiting the speaking of many void words. What is Jesus prohibiting? Jesus is prohibiting saying much, speaking many void words, instead of praying with your hearts those prayers. So Jesus is not prohibiting many prayers here. He's prohibiting many empty words. And he is promoting praying with our hearts to Father God. You see, he's saying that the pagans thought that their gods were like themselves. You got to understand the pagans. The pagans thought that their gods were like themselves, that they had to use many words with their gods for their gods to understand their condition. It's like with human beings. With human beings, you've got to speak many words for that person to really understand where you're at. And so these pagans thought that their gods were the same way as human beings, that they had to speak many words, empty words, to their gods in order for their gods to understand where they were at. But Jesus says, no, Father God is so much greater than that. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. God is not looking for many empty words. God is looking for a few words to communicate our condition to Him. Now, why does Jesus say, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask of Him? In other words, if our Father knows what we need even before we ask Him, why should we pray? If Father God knows what we need in our lives even before we verbally ask Him, then why should we pray? Why is God wanting us to pray even if He knows what we need before we ask Him?
How does He know it?
Because God wants us to own our need of Him. In other words, God wants to know that we are dependent upon Him. God wants us to build relationship with Him. God wants us to become 100% dependent upon Him. And this is why God, Father God, wants us to pray to Him. Not to communicate our need only, because He knows what our needs are, but He wants us to pray so that we can own our need of Him, so that we become dependent upon Him, so that we build spiritual relationship with Him. Is that making sense here today? In line with this, let me read from the speaker's quote book. It says this: prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only the one who is helpless can truly pray. Your helplessness is your best prayer. It calls from your heart to the heart of God with greater effect than all your uttered pleas. God is looking for those heartfelt prayers that is showing Him that we are helpless on our own, that we need Him to intervene on our behalf, that we are dependent upon Him, that we need Him. Is that making sense? All right. So then Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount on how to pray, what we should pray. And he says this in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven. He's distinguishing this Father from our earthly fathers by calling him what? By calling him our Father who is in heaven. And the Father who is in heaven is the giver of what? Of all good things. Our Father in heaven, the giver of all good things, hallowed be your name. Sanctified be your name. In other words, he's saying that we're to bring glory to God by communicating all the good that he has done for us. Hallowed be, glory be brought to your name for the good things that you've done in my life, for the intervention that you've brought about, God, in my life. And then he says in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, may your kingdom come and will be done on earth in my life as it's been done in heaven. So in prayer, we can do what with God? We can communicate that the will of God be done in our lives. See, there's a lot of people out there that call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, but they're doing their very own thing. They're doing what they want to do with their lives. A lot of people, Christians, have this mindset, this is my life, I do with my life what I want to do with it. But a person who is a true follower of Christ, submitted to God, will pray what? God, your will be done in my life. Is that making sense here today? The will of God to be done in your life in every area. What does he say? He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God, give me a taste on this earth of what is in heaven. What is in heaven? What is part of the will of God in your life? What is in heaven? What taste of heaven can we have on this earth? Healing and wholeness. There's no sickness in heaven, right? So part of God's will for you on this earth as it is in heaven is that you would experience wholeness, physical healing in your life. That you would experience the provision of God, that you don't always have to lack for money, but that God can provide for your financial needs. That you don't always have to be living in a cave of depression, but that you could be living in the joy of the Lord, because in heaven there's joy. And we can have a taste of that joy of heaven here on earth in our lives. Is that making sense? So may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it has been done in heaven. Is that making sense? So in prayer, we can pray that God's will be done in our lives. That we can have that taste of heaven, of all the good things that are in heaven, right here on this earth. Is that making sense here today? Then he says another thing we can pray is this. Give us today our daily bread. What is Jesus saying? That we, in prayer, we can pray what to God? God, I thank you that you are providing for my daily needs. What kind of daily needs do we have? Not wants now. Not talking about wants. Talking about needs. That God, I thank you that you give me my daily bread. God, I thank you that you give me my daily needs. What daily needs do we have?
Physical needs.
Breath in our lungs. Real simple. Our beating hearts, right? Food in front of us, right, to eat. A place to sleep. Is that right? Clothing on our bodies, right? So we can pray to God. God, I thank you that all the needs that I have to live in life are provided for by you. And as we pray this to God, and I'm preaching to myself today, we can think less about the future and tomorrow and more about today and our relationship with God right now. So a lot of people in the world are always thinking about 10, 15, 20, 30 years in the future. Tomorrow, 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 the future, the future, the future, the future. But you know what? God has got your future in the palm of his hands. God has got it all taken care of, the future and the present. So as we pray for God to provide for our daily needs right now, it causes greater dependence upon him for the provision of your needs rather than thinking about how you can do it in your own strength for the future. Is that making sense? Give us today our daily bread. And then he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So he's basically saying that in prayer, you can pray to God, God, give me the strength to do what is sometimes so hard for me as a fallible human being to do. God, I pray that you give me the strength. Give me the strength to do what is so hard to do sometimes. And one of the things that is so hard to do a lot of times is what?
Forgive myself.
One of the things that is so difficult to do a lot of times is to forgive. People are going to say and do things in your life that don't sit right with you. People are going to offend you. They're going to hurt you. They are going to harm you. And a lot of times the first natural human reaction of a person who's not following Christ is to get vengeance, to get even. Man, they slandered my reputation to my boss. I'm going to slander their reputation. That's the way the world thinks. But forgiveness is really tough to do. On our own, we can't forgive. We can't release a person of the debt that we feel that they owe us. And when it comes to the point where it's so hard to do, we can depend and rely on none other except God. And praying to God, saying, God, give me this supernatural divine strength to forgive the person who has offended me. Is that making sense? Amen. And there's going to be other things in life that are difficult for you to do, that God will give you the strength to do if you only cry out in prayer for His strength to do the thing that is so tough to do. Maybe it's a broken relationship where you feel like you need to communicate with somebody by phone or by mail or somehow. And it's so tough to do because this person has so deeply hurt you. And you're like, God, I know I need to make the phone call. God, I know I need to send that email. God, I know I need to write that handwritten note. I just can't do it on my own. God, I am weak in myself. And when you're weak, God's strength is evidenced, demonstrated through your life. In our weakness, He is what? He is strong. God, I can't do this on my own. Give me your strength to write that letter, to write that email, to pick up the phone and make that call. Is that making sense here today? Is that good news?
Amen.
All right, so praying to God to give us the strength to do things that are so hard to do at times. And then he says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Another thing that we can include in our prayers, in our communication to God is what? Is God, help lead me away from the temptation to sin. God, help lead me away from looking at things with my eyes I should not be looking at. God, give me the strength to not drink or put into my body the chemicals that I'm tempted to put into my body. You see, is that making sense here today? God, give me the strength to overcome the temptation to get even with this person who has really hurt me. So God, give me the strength, help lead me away from the temptation to sin, and God, deliver me from the evil one. You know, as you're sitting here today, sin might still have a really strong hold over your life, a stranglehold on you. Struggling with certain things in your life. I don't know what they are exactly, but God knows what they are. What is it today that you're struggling with? What is it today that has got a stronghold on you spiritually? What is it? Chemicals? Bitterness? Looking at things you shouldn't be looking at? Saying things with your mouth? Cussing? Saying things you shouldn't be saying? What is it that has got a stronghold on your life today? Guess what? We can pray to God and say, God, this thing has got a stronghold on my life because my flesh is weak. God, I can't do it on my own. But God, I thank you that you deliver me from this stronghold of sin over my life in Jesus' name. And as you cry out to God and say, God, I thank you that you give me the strength. God, I thank you that you deliver me from this stronghold that this sin has over my life. I'm here to tell you today that God will make it real for you. He will rescue you from the stronghold of that thing over your life. Is that making sense? So the Lord's Prayer has everything in it, man. Everything, that God's will would be done in our lives. That's what we need to pray. God, your will be done in my life. God, I thank you that my daily needs are met through you, God. God, I thank you that you give me the strength to do things I cannot do in my own natural self. God, I thank you that you deliver me from the temptation to sin. God, I thank you that you deliver me from the stranglehold that this specific sin has over my life in Jesus' name. And as you pray to God and communicate to Him, God will respond to you. Is that making sense? God will do what? God will make His will manifest in your life. God will provide you with the basic necessities and needs of life. God will give you the strength to do things you can't do in your own natural human ability. God will break the stronghold of that sin over your life. And as God makes these areas real in your life, you start growing spiritually. You start growing in your walk with God, and you're maturing into spiritual adulthood. Is that good news? But it takes what? One of the ways that we can grow spiritually with God is what? We talked about it today. It's the lesson for today. Communication. Prayer to the Almighty God. Present your need to Him. Present your request to Him. Present your weakness, your struggle to Almighty God. And I guarantee it that if you present it to God, show your dependence upon Him with a few words, God will respond and make Himself so real in your life so that you get to know Him better and walk closer and closer with Him. Is that good news?